Matthew chapter 24. The message this morning is the love of the many. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Verse 8. But all these things are the beginning of travail. Then shall they deliver you up unto tribulation, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all the nations for my name's sake. And then shall many stumble, and shall deliver up one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall lead many astray. And because lawlessness shall be multiplied, the love of the many shall wax cold. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we give thee thanks for thy goodness to us. To think that thy Son, who appeared for such a short time on earth, in such an obscure place, and was seen by so few in comparison to the many in the world, yet his message has been preserved, and we have read the words that he spoke just before he went to the cross. We have read them, and they are for us to ponder this day. We rejoice in thy great preservation, in the fulfillment of what thy Son said concerning his words. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And we are thankful that they have come down to us, and we desire to profit from them, our God, because all scripture is profitable, and all these things that he spoke in the new, as well as all those things in the old, are for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So, our Father, whatever lessons are contained in the portion that we have read and similar portions, we pray that thou shalt bless them to our hearts. Who is sufficient to change the heart of a man? Only thy Spirit. And that is why we turn the hearts of those who are here this morning unto thee. Work by thy Spirit upon the hearts, and our Father, empower lips, and we will be clean to serve thee, so we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised, and give us a profitable, enjoyable time this morning, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. What kind of love is in you? It may be that there's no love in you at all. It says concerning some people, all men have not faith. And it says, if any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. So, there may be no faith in you, and there may be no love in you. But the portion that we read describes some love as a love possessed by the many. The love of the many shall grow cold. So, if you can boast and say, well, thank God, I love the Lord Jesus, that's fine. But tell me, what is the temperature of that love that you have toward the Lord Jesus? He said, the love of the many shall grow cold. So you confess you have love. Is there fervent love in you, or is there cold love in you? The Savior describes two kinds of love. The sad thing is this, that what he describes is a description of the majority of the people of God. He speaks of a time when their love is going to grow cold. Well, if love grows cold, at one time it was warm. Can you understand that? And if he describes the love of the many, then thank God he did not say, the love of all men shall grow cold. But he says, the love of the many shall grow cold. So there is also the love of the few. And there may be a few of you here this morning who have a love that is described as fervent rather than cold. And so these categories sum up all of us who are here. You either have no love, or you have a love that's cold, or you have a love that is warm, that is fervent. If it's cold, it was not that way at the first. It became that way. And if it is fervent, it means that the love that began your faith in Christ has continued. Because there is no such thing as a believer at the first having a heart that is cold. You say, do you mean that everyone who trusts Christ as Savior, at the beginning, his love is warm, is fervent? I challenge you to show me anyone who has been genuinely saved who does not have that fervor, that joy, that warmth of love when he first trusts Christ as Savior. Can you remember when you were saved? I can. My outlook was entirely different. It was like walking out of darkness into light. There was an illumination concerning the love of God to me, concerning my sin, and concerning the fact that there was the family of God, and how here were brothers and sisters in Christ I never knew that I had before. And there was a love and a warmth and a joy. And it lasted how long? Well, how long did yours last? I remember that I witnessed more faithfully at the first than I do now. I teach more fervently now, but at the first there was witness. Why? Because about the only thing I knew was that Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures. Now I have answers to other things. But what I knew, I told others, and for that reason my love at the first was warm, and so was yours at one time. But now, think of the love that's in you today. How does it compare with the love that was in you at the first when you trusted Christ as Savior? You say, I'm afraid that it is colder now than it was then. Then you are among the many. Do you understand that? Christ is talking about you. The love of the many shall grow cold. He warns us about it. And he searches our souls by asking this question. When the Son of Man cometh, shall he find? And he speaks of a condition of heart. When he comes back, shall he find it? So if the Lord came today, would you be satisfied to let him look and measure the degree of temperature of your heart? You say, I wish he would give me a little longer to warm it up. Well, perhaps he shall. Perhaps so. But if you know it's not what it should be and it's cold, then thank God this hope. Because when the Lord says, repent, that's hope. But if he says, I gave her time to repent and she wills not to repent, then all hope is gone. But if he says, repent, and you're listening to me this morning, then you and I can cause these hearts that are cold to grow warm again. So understand this, that love and faith and knowledge are not like salvation. Salvation is once for all. It never changes. Thank God for that. But we grow in grace. We grow in faith. We grow in love, or we diminish in love. It never stays the same. And it is dependent upon you. Salvation is God's gift, which we accept by faith. But growth depends upon our response to the working of the Spirit of God within us. And if he works in us and we refuse, if we grieve the Spirit, if we quench the Spirit, then instead of our love growing more fervent, it grows cold. And what happens is that the church is today what it is. I've thought of this, about whether your heart is cold or warm. I've never been able to figure out how, when we'll have a conference, let's say that some people here in Durham invite a speaker of stature, and it's not on your prayer meeting or Sunday night meeting, and the meeting is going on for the whole week, and you won't go across town to hear him. Tom Taylor was brought down to Fayetteville. I drove from Goldsboro to Fayetteville to hear him. And in Raleigh, they have four assemblies, and they will have a special meeting at one, and the Christians in the other meetings won't drive across town to hear a man of repute minister the Word of God. Does that sound like a heart that is fervent, aglow, desiring fellowship of the saints? You say, no, there is something restricted there. There's something wrong. And this is what Christ wants us to know. Now, because of the conditions that are going on now, we're all saying this is a sign that the coming of the Lord is near. Don't you understand that what I read to you about the love of your heart also is a sign of the coming of the Lord drawing near? You say, well, it says there shall be wars and rumors of wars. There shall be earthquakes and famines in divers places. Yes. And he says, and the love of the many shall grow cold. You say, is that one of them? Why, of course it is. The love of the many shall grow cold. And it says in both 1st and 2nd Timothy, now in the last times, in the last days, and it is a description of the world in which we live, and the coldness of the hearts of the people of God is a description also of the last times before the Lord comes. And so I'm not going to look over at the Near East and say, the coming of the Lord is nigh. I'm going to look right here at you and myself and say, the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And the danger is this. It says, and now, little children, abide in him, that if he shall be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So think of your condition of heart. And even though you want the Lord to come, would you have boldness or would you be ashamed from his presence at his coming? And so this morning, we are described either as those who have no love or we're among the many. Isn't that embarrassing? The love of the many, that means the majority, more are going to be cold than the love of the few. But the hope is this, that the love of the few still exists. It's not all, but the love of the few can still exist. It speaks in the future about, and so all Israel shall be saved, but now they're not being saved. But Paul says there exists to this day a remnant. And so thank God, though the love of the many waxes cold, there is the love of the few. So we want to consider a little bit the love of the many. And he tells us what causes our hearts to grow cold. He says, because iniquity shall abound. It literally says this, because lawlessness shall be multiplied, shall be increased, the love of the many shall grow cold. Why do you think the Lord says to you, put on the whole armor of God? Because conditions change the degree of the temperature in your heart. It says your heart is going to grow cold because of these conditions. Iniquity shall be multiplied. And what happens? If we do not have the whole armor of God on, and if we do not always pray, we're going to faint. We will grow weary in well-doing. And this is what happens. And you must understand that you are not impervious to conditions, but they are going to condemn you and control you unless you do something about them. It speaks in 1 Corinthians 7 about the marital relationships. Satan tempts you because of your lack of self-control. Conditions cause a man morally to change. Conditions cause a man spiritually to change. They affect the heart that is within you and the heart that is fervent at first. When conditions become adverse, the heart is going to grow cold unless we do all that God has placed at our disposal to keep that heart warm. And what happens is this, that the conditions that exist in this land of ours, as well as in the world, are those conditions that are conducive to coldness of heart. It says, because iniquity shall be multiplied, lawlessness increases, abounds. Because of that, the hearts of many shall grow cold. Now, Satan has systematically gone about to see to it that iniquity and lawlessness abound, that it is multiplied. And God has warned us in the Old Testament about what happens when wickedness abounds. This is what it says. It says, the wicked walk everywhere when vileness is exalted among the sons of man. The wicked walk on every side, and the picture is this. One who is wicked, strutting around in his pride. It says, they walk on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. What is being exalted today? Righteousness or vileness? You say, I'm afraid it is vileness. Why, of course. And this is what it says in Ecclesiastes. He says, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, as it were an error that proceedeth from the ruler of the people. It says, folly is set in a high place, and the rich in the good sense, the noble, those that are as men should be, gentlemen, ladies, the rich sit in a low place. I have seen servants upon horses, and I have seen princes walking like servants upon the earth. This is what has happened. The Bible speaks about rising up at the hoary head. It speaks about manners, but those things do not exist anymore. And Ecclesiastes says, I have seen this evil under the sun. There is an upturning of the social order. There was a time when Southern children anyway said, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. Find children around, unless their parents are there to constrain them, to give you that respect. There is no respect for older people, why they are around to be insulted. And this is what struck the author of Ecclesiastes so strongly. He said, I have seen an evil under the sun, and that is a social disorder. What our nation and the world is trying to do is this, to make no social order. It's trying to make everybody the same. No difference between men and women. That one who is noble and gentlemanly, one who is aged and deserves respect, he has no respect. We are all to be equal and equal. And that is what God says in his word. It says, I have seen an evil under the sun. And our Savior said, because iniquity shall be multiplied. This is what it says again in Psalm 12. It says, the wicked walk on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. And so you have vileness, and you have folly, and you have wickedness, and it's all being exalted. You remember there was a time when people were startled about divorce. They wouldn't think of such a thing. Even the unsaved would say, no, we don't believe in it. We just do not do those things. Why, today it is expected, and it's affected you. It means absolutely nothing. You are trying to find out ways that divorce that is not scriptural can be tolerated. And you say, in the nation of love, we should do it. Think of the people that are around us. Think of the temptations. Think of all the trials that they go through. The Lord Jesus said, what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And he says, if you do get a divorce, and you get remarried on any ground other than fornication, he said, you're committing adultery. But what happens is this. But everybody's getting divorced. Everybody's getting remarried. Then all of it is adultery. And so why should, because of conditions that are contrary to what the Savior taught and stood for, because they prevail, why should you and I succumb and accept those conditions? When you do, then your heart has grown cold. There used to be a time when homosexuality and lesbianism, those things weren't even mentioned. And now I can mention it and you know about those things. Why? Because they are so prevalent. Before, it used to be hidden and it was a criminal offense if a person practiced such things. But now, it's not only not a criminal offense, they're striking the laws off the books, and they're trying to put laws on the books that make you accept such behavior. And you are prepared to accept those things rather than reject them and to eschew evil and turn away from those things as evil. And what happens? It says, because iniquity, lawlessness shall be multiplied. It says, the love of the many, the love in the many shall grow cold. And that's what happened. And our hearts have grown cold, and we accept adultery, and we accept lesbianism, and we accept homosexuality, we accept perversion, we accept idolatry, we accept blasphemy. All of these things we accept. Why? Because our hearts have grown cold. And you say, well, this is the age in which we live, and since it is and so prevalent, then we have to alter the Word of God that is unchangeable and unalterable. We have to alter the way that we accept it and let these things come in among us. Then your heart has grown cold and you are among the many. But thank God, it doesn't have to be that way, because these conditions can be overcome. When Elijah thought that he was alone and he was telling God, he said, I alone am left. He said, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And so perhaps somewhere in the United States we could find 7,000. They might be hiding in caves. But thank God there are some, when idolatry is being practiced and everybody else is so afraid that if they do not, then a Jezebel will come along and put them to death. Or they're afraid that they will be deprived of some of the privileges of life and some of the luxuries of life. Because of that, they tolerate it. But God has His eye looking upon His few. 7,000. But think of the hundreds of thousands. But He said, I have 7,000. And that means that at that time, they would be among the few and not among the many. They would be those who were not altered by their circumstances, but they would be those who took a stand. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, we must be steadfast and immovable, or else I promise you, as the Savior says, the conditions that exist in the world will affect the temperature of your heart. Your heart will grow cold. Now, this again is an iniquity that exists in the world. It's spoken of in the book of Job. Concerning the wicked, this is what they say. The wicked say unto God, depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. And what is the Almighty that we should serve him? What profit should we have if we pray to him? Why, those words are being uttered by the atheists today, and they are trying to propagate among America those very words. It says concerning God, depart from us. We desire not the knowledge of your ways. They're trying to take the knowledge of God's ways away from us, from all of your children. They're trying to take them away. It says, we don't desire to know the knowledge of your ways. And as for the Almighty, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? They don't believe in God. This God will pray to him. Let's see what he can do. And what profit should we have if we pray to him? And those are words written in one of the first books of the Bible. And so they are simply being brought up again today and being repeated. We don't want the knowledge of your ways. Listen to what it says in Isaiah 26. It says this, when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. When God's judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. But it says, when wickedness and iniquity are in the world, proud men walk around on every side. There is an upheaval of stability and intelligence, and men become like legion, controlled by someone else. And that is the activity of Satan, because the Savior has said, because iniquity shall be multiplied, the hearts of the many shall grow cold. And therefore Satan says, well, I am going to cause iniquity to be multiplied. And how great has been his success. To think that now, that they can dismiss you from school if you pray and if you bring the Word of God in the school. Isn't that remarkable? Because when God's standards and righteousnesses are in the world, the men of the world learn to do the things that he says. And if men followed the things that were in God's Word that are taught there, our boys would not be over in Saudi Arabia. But because they say, depart from us, we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. God says, all right, then you want your way, then I give it to you. Tell me, you who are old, you can think back, and even you who are young, are things better and more moral today than when you were younger? You say, no, they are steadily growing worse. Well, that has been because, depart from us, O God, we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. We have thrown out the knowledge of God's ways, and we have substituted man's ways, man's philosophy, and we strut around, you see. The wicked walk on every side when vileness is exalted in the earth. And man would get away from what the Scripture teaches, but when he gets away from it, what happens is that all of these that were in hiding committed sins in secret. Now they come out in the open and they march down the streets and our police protect them and they have their rights to practice all of these aberrant things that God's Word calls an abomination. And you and I are changing our description of the plain description that God gives of these sins. Therefore, the coldness that exists in the hearts of the people of God is because of the conditions and our inability or our unwillingness to take a stand against these conditions, because iniquity is being multiplied in the world. And instead of fighting the good fight of faith, we have been overcome by these things and our hearts have grown cold. And when that happens, then what we once stood for, why, it goes down, down, down. Now, I think of the remembrance meeting. I wonder if there is as much reverence and praise and worship as there was in the past. At the same time, the New Testament principles that used to be precious to us, why, we don't even know them, much less follow them. And if you do, what a weariness, how people will object to those things. Think now of all that's going on about us, and it's because there has not been a steadfastness in maintaining the righteousness of God. It says, when thy judgments are in the earth. But we have given up God's judgments, and therefore there are vile things in the world, wicked things in the world. And it says, for that reason, it says, the wicked come and they walk about on every side. Why? Because vileness has been exalted. And there is a social upturning because it says, I have seen an error under heaven. I have seen an evil under heaven, and I don't understand it. The author of Ecclesiastes says, I can't understand this. It says, folly is set in great heights, and that is what exists in our lives today. What is so sad is this, that it does exist. But remember, it says that what we read in Matthew 24 is something that's going to happen in the coming day. Here is what is so interesting. I told you it did not have to be. In Matthew 24, our Savior says, it's going to be. But in 2 Thessalonians 1, listen to these words. Thank God that such things exist. I told you about the love of the many. It's going to grow cold. But I told you about the love of the few. And Paul writes to those at Thessalonica, and he says, we are bound to give thanks to God for you always, for that your faith groweth exceedingly. And it says, the love of all of you, each one of you all, the one toward another, aboundeth. And so in the church at Thessalonica, the love was growing. It was abounding. You say, that's excellent. That was the first epistle, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, ever written by Paul in the New Testament. That's at the beginning. But now, listen to what it says in Revelation 2, the last books, among the last books that were written. God says to the church at Ephesus, He says, I know thy works, and thy toil, and thy patience, and that thou canst not bear evil men, and you've tried those that call themselves apostles, and found them false, they are not, and you have that patience, and you have borne in my name, and you've not grown weary. He said, but I have this against you. You have left your first love. They were still carrying on, but what happened was this. From that first love, they had departed, and now they were carrying on with a lesser kind of love. You say, well, they have patience, and they have forbearance, and they have toil. Why, all of these good things, isn't that enough? The Lord said, if you don't repent, I'm going to move your candlestick out of its place. Because what happens? From fervent love, you leave that first love, and then you get cold love. And when that happens, the foundations are destroyed, and there's nothing that you can do. The foundations exist, but when it says they are destroyed, it means that all of those that should be upholding the foundations, they have given in to the foundations being destroyed. And because of that, all these sins prevail. The love of the many, but thank God, there is the love of the few, and that is pictured in the church at Thessalonica. Their love is not growing cold because of conditions, but their love is abounding. And Paul is rejoicing. He's bound to give thanks to God. Now, your love is one of these kinds of love. There's no love in your heart. It says, then you're going to be accursed. If any man loves not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. And so if you haven't trusted Christ as Savior, if you don't love the Lord Jesus, and you'll only love Him when you first yield to God's love, we love Him because He first loved us. You have no love and you'll perish without loving the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And to know that He loved you and died for you and to trust Him as Savior is to love Him. Or you may be among the many whose love is cold, or you may be among the few whose love is fervent and abounding. Now, which love is descriptive of you? Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that while indicting us in thy word, still, our God, you say, repent. We thank you for that possibility. And we are so glad that in a world in which iniquity is being multiplied, there is still the love of the few. We are thankful for churches like those at Thessalonica. While the world is filled with sin and idolatry, we are thankful that there are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. But our God, thou dost know how much longer there is going to be any description of love. The time will come when there will be light and darkness. There will be those in your presence eternally in heaven, and the rest eternally in hell. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So, Father, if they are lost here, may they trust thy Son as Savior and learn to love him. And for us who have hearts that are cold, our God, let us repent and warm those hearts again. And for those who have fervent love toward you, let them keep up that fervency, our God, and let them come and speak to us and change us and help us. We pray, our Savior, that when you come, we shall have boldness and not be ashamed. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.